And now, till 1 o'clock, it's Brian Hayes on LBC, the newsmakers and you on the phone.
Today, writer Anthony Burgess treats us to his vision of 1985, a society dominated by the unions and the Arabs. Marriage counsellor Philip Hodson deals with personal and emotional problems. And, of course, London listens to your view of today's news. Good morning, London. It's Monday, the 2nd of October, 1978, and futurology is big business these days. In journalism and in fiction, writers are busy telling us what life will be like in 10, 20 years, or even as close as 1984. George Orwell's vision has become a cliché for the state-dominated life. Well, Anthony Burgess has now taken Orwell's picture, offered his explanation, and presented us with 1 year later, 1985, a book published this week by Hutchinson. And Mr. Burgess's view of 1985 is rather unpleasant. This country, for instance, is TUC land, with control in the hands of the unions and the Arabs. The closed shop is universal, Islam is a dominant religion, and set books for the state-leaving certificate include, would you believe, the shortened version of the carpetbaggers. Anthony Burgess, your predictions, allowing, of course, for dramatic exaggeration, which will allow you as a novelist, paint a very unpleasant picture of 1985. Now, how much of it do you seriously expect to see?
I don't expect very much of it, in fact, any more than Orwell really expected his vision to be realised in 1984. After all, these dates don't mean very much. They belong to a kind of separate time, which has nothing to do with real time. For instance, when we see the film on television of On the Beach, that was made by, I think, Stanley Kramer out of Neville Shute's novel about the end of the world, the date is 1962, and when we see Anthony Perkins looking at the calendar, you know, with appropriate music, we feel the same shiver we felt in 1959, when the film was first shown, as we do indeed when we watch a rerun of H.G. Wells's The Shape of Things to Come, which shows terrible things happening in 1976, which of course happened. Now, it's a separate sort of time, and my 1985 is a year after Orwell's, which doesn't mean it has anything really to do with what's going to happen in the next few years. I merely wanted to point out certain tendencies which I saw in our present-day society, which could be realised under certain circumstances.
And you've sort of taken them, have you, to absurd lengths?
To a great extent, although, of course, there are some elements in the novel, in the little book I've written, which look like absurdities, but of course have actually happened. The story springs out of the decision on the part of a young worker that he will no longer belong to a union when his wife has been burnt to death in a hospital fire while the fire brigades are on strike. And because of an extension of the unionist principle, the army too is on strike, and there is nobody to put out the fire. His wife's last words are, "Don't let them get away with it," and he determines not to. Of course, he can do nothing. He's one lone individual against a whole vast collective, which is the situation in Orwell's 1984, the lone man against the state, in his case. Indeed, I think Orwell's original title was The Last Man in Europe. That was the original title of the book. The next title was 1948, but he had to change that to 1984. I'm concerned, as Orwell was, and as all writers of this kind of fiction are, with the situation of the individual, trying to make his own situations, trying to make his own life, faced with the philosophy, the metaphysic of a big collective, whether it happens to be the state or whether it happens to be the trade union Congress.